Amen. Amen. Well, y'all, we already had church. You all need to hear from me this morning. But I do want to just say a couple of quick things. I know that's scary when I say that. I'm going to say a couple of quick things. First of all, I don't know if you saw this report that came out this past week, but I'm proud to announce that Naperville is the fourth snobbiest city, mid-sized city, in all of America. Are you kidding me? You know, obviously this report came out, and guess what my topic of the bystander effect we were going to talk about today? Welcoming. Welcoming. And you know, the matrix that they're using for this report is, it's not really valid. One of the pieces that they use for their matrix to determine this is the number of people in the city that have college degrees. And Naperville, per capita, in mid-sized cities in the United States, has the largest number of college graduates in the entire country. I think we should celebrate that. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think we should celebrate that. You know, the other thing that they used was the fact that people are successful. People are successful. You know, God desires for us to be successful, if you think about it. But what He requires for us is to give Him the glory. Is to give Him the honor. And so when I look at this, I see this microcosm of Naperville in general is on the map. And there were some really great rebuttals. If you look at the Chicago Tribune, had a great rebuttal. I like the author. She said, let me climb off of my horse here for a minute, you know, to come down to the commoner's level. She grew up in Naperville, and she was writing a rebuttal in response to this. And as I look at this, I think, okay, how much does that play a part in the role in the life of the church? I mean, if we can't deny the fact that Trinity Church of the Nazarene is located where? Naperville, Illinois. But you know what we can do? We can prove that wrong. We have the opportunity to prove that wrong. Not only does the city have that opportunity to prove that the statistics wrong, but we as a church have the opportunity to prove everyone wrong. What does it look like for a church to be welcoming? Here's something really interesting for you this morning. Pastor Tara Beth and I were meeting in my office, and I was going over my message with her, and her eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. And she said, I don't know how to tell you this. And I was like, okay, what do you need to tell me? She said, your message for this morning is literally the last 2 weeks of messages that I just preached. And I said, by theme, right? And she said, no, scripture references and everything. Now, one of the things that we talked about this morning was that's unity in the Spirit. Because I have no idea, and we do a really, really good job trying not to step on each other's toes. And so being out of the country for 10 days, that'll kind of mess you up a little bit. You kind of are a little bit out of the loop and trying to catch up and everything. And so when I got to this theme of welcoming, I pulled out these passages of Scripture. Do you think it's by chance that it's the same passages that Pastor Tara Beth was led to preach on? And the passages for me were Ezekiel 34, which is basically the story in Luke 15 of the sheep. And how Jesus says, does not the good shepherd go out and leave the 99 in the pasture to seek after the one and joyfully puts them on his shoulders and carries them back? If you read Ezekiel 34, what you see in that is literally the same exact story. But it was God saying it to Ezekiel to share with the kings of Israel. And his takeaway was, you forgot to do what I asked you to do, and that was simply take care of your people. All you cared about was yourself. You just cared about what was good for you. You cared about you getting richer and you wearing the fine linens and the wool and everything else. All of a sudden, fast forward to Luke 15. Jesus, he gets in trouble. But why does he get in trouble? Well, because the Pharisees, what they said was, he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you get in trouble for one thing about being a Christian, if it's because that you welcome sinners and eat with them, to phrase a good Australian slogan, get on ya. I mean, there are worse things that you could be in trouble for, right? But if you get in trouble because you welcome sinners and you eat with them because your desire is nothing more than just to show them the love of Christ, man, I say, let's do it. You know, because that's countercultural, just like it was then. The Pharisees during that time, they were looking at this and they were making the list of rules and they were saying, hey, unless you live up to this, then you're nobody. And Jesus came and he said, that's not the way it's going to work. He says, in fact, I'm going to take the script that you've written. I'm going to tear it up in front of you. And I'm going to show you what it really means to love. And he did it not by his words, but he also did it by his actions. And he called his disciples. And his disciples were in the same boat. They were kind of like, are you sure about this? You really want us to welcome sinners and eat with them? Like we've permission to do this? Jesus is like, absolutely. Absolutely. So the amazing thing is for us, Isaiah 53:6 already tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us going our own way. We're all like sheep. It helps us to understand that we're all lost. Some of us this morning are lost sheep, and some of us this morning are found sheep. But at the end of the day, we're all sheep. And you've already heard us kind of communicate this message. If you feel lost this morning, you have a good shepherd in Christ Jesus who seeks after you, who wants to find you, who will gladly leave the 99 behind because he is pursuing you. But if you're a found sheep this morning, the message is a little different. The message is, how can I learn from what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here? Why did he tell the story? Well, he told the story because they were looking at him and they were scoffing at the fact that he would welcome sinners and eat with them. And he says, I tell you the truth, is it not a shepherd that goes out and leaves the 99 in good pasture? So your homework, all right? I'm going to give you all homework. Your homework this week is to read Ezekiel 34, okay? Read it all the way through, and then read Luke 15. And I want you to read those two together, and I want you to see the parallels. And I'm going to end with this. No, I'm not. I'm going to let you work it out. I'm going to let you work it out. So Ezekiel 34, and let me say this too. If you don't have a Bible, I would really love, and the staff would really love for you to receive a Bible. So in the back, to the left of the fireplace, when you walk out, there should be some Bibles stacked up there. They're Life Application Study Bibles. Those are yours. You can take those. And if they run out, we'll get more. But we want to make sure that everybody that comes and especially he listens to us as we preach, we open God's Word. God's Word will guide us into all truth. So every Sunday, you can expect that we're going to take you to a passage of Scripture. And so we want our church body to be not just reading it on Sundays, but allowing it to permeate you throughout the week as well. So we want to get you a Bible. So if there's not one back there, make sure you come and let me know, and we'll make sure to get you one. Deal? All right, so the homework is Ezekiel 34, Luke 15. I have neglected to make an announcement, and it's been on my notes for the past couple of weeks, and every time the Holy Spirit moves, my notes go out the window. So I wanted to make a verbal announcement to you all to let you know, and maybe in case you haven't heard, Dr. Brian Wilson, who is our district superintendent, has accepted a new call and position to serve as the district superintendent for the Southern Florida District. So he will be transitioning. October will be his last month that he'll be here as our district superintendent. Maybe you've seen information in either the Friday email or also the bulletin. We're asking for local congregations to be able to go on and do a survey, and you get to kind of give voice and input into what type of district superintendent you would like to see leading our district. So if you want more information on that, you can look in the Friday email. It's also posted in the bulletin, I believe, and then we'll have information in the church office if you want to kind of take that a step further. Wanted to make you aware of that. Amen. Let's stand together as we close. And I'd like for us to, our benediction for this series, say it with me together. Pray and keep praying. Be alert and thankful when you pray. And while you are at it, add us to your prayers. Pray that God would open doors and windows and minds and eyes and hearts for the word so we can go on telling the mystery of the anointed. For this is exactly why I'm currently in prison. Pray that I will proclaim this message clearly and fearlessly as I should. Be wise when you engage with those outside the faith community. Make the most of every moment and every encounter. When you speak the word, speak it gracefully, as if seasoned with salt, so you will know how to respond to everyone rightly. And again, I just pray this over you and that you would go in peace. You are dismissed. Let's do it. Yep. And dear Lord, we pray right now that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. And we pray a blessing over the hands that prepared it this morning. Again, we look forward, Lord, to being in fellowship with the body of believers. And we're so thankful that we get to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.